all of our hearts will be blessed today as we continue our meditation upon God and continue with some meditations upon water baptism. God is high and holy. You've never seen Him. He is beyond our comprehension. But guaranteed, you will see Him someday. We must give account to this God whom we've heard about, and our brother has told us about, and read from the Scriptures about. No exception. Absolutely, every one of us must appear before God. And folks, that is one of the reasons that baptism is important. You have chosen the right thing to do. Put your whole heart into it. And if you're here this morning and you're just a nominal Christian, or you're here and you're just a lukewarm Christian, or you're here, you're just a casual Christian, please make your calling and election sure. This is the way. God has clearly taught us how to make preparation to meet Him. You will not be able on the day of judgment to say, God, why didn't you tell me? The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Hey, ladies. The heavens, the firmament, handiwork. How great is God if this is His handiwork? God is great, high, holy, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. Boys and girls, you know what those big 8-cylinder words mean? Omniscient. He knows everything, even what you do behind somebody's back. Omnipotent. Our God can do everything. Omnipresent. Go to Africa. Go down to Australia. Go out into outer space, even though the Russian declared that he did not see God in outer space on the space shuttle. Listen, God is everywhere. My question this morning is He in your heart? Yes, folks. Open up your heart. It will make a difference in your life. You can't be a casual Christian with Jesus in your heart. You can't be a lukewarm Christian with the Holy Ghost, Pentecost, in your heart. Ah, my dear people, may I engage you this morning? Engage your minds. Engage your hearts. And meditating, yea, comprehending what God requires of me and what God requires of you. Water baptism is a covenant with God. Now, if you don't know personally, if you don't know God personally and have actually experienced rebirth and have actually experienced, if you've not yet experienced Pentecost, please don't be baptized. You don't want to make a covenant with this kind of God. But if God dwells in your heart, you have a personal Pentecost. Jesus is yours. Your sins have been forgiven by personal repentance. You see, this thing isn't automatic. This thing is not automatic. Or just because your parents were good, you're going to be good too. No, and you're going to have all this. This is your personal decision. Personally, I repent of my sins. Personally, I believe in God. Personally, I have invited Jesus Christ into my heart, and He's changed me with His blessed Holy Spirit. I want to make a covenant with God, and He wants to make a covenant with me. My aim is to help us to understand the scriptural, the spiritual ceremony, and its daily outworkings in our lives. Now, baptism for many Christians down through the years has meant not only becoming Christians and not only becoming a member of the church, but it has meant living for Jesus, taking up the cross, and even has meant death for many people. For us, it means church membership, and it also means taking up the cross of Jesus Christ. It means to live daily for the Lord. And I'll admit, probably none of us anticipate martyrdom. Do you expect to die for the Lord today in Alaska? I doubt it. However, get this point. If we're not careful, we can easily become careless and lukewarm. At least I find it that way. But may I say that for all of us, we live in very dangerous times. May I say this to Sterling Harbor Mennonite Church? We live in dangerous times. Read your martyr's mirror. How many of you folks have martyr's mirrors in your homes? Come on, the thick book. Everybody needs one. You ought to spend some time in it. Check it out. Young people, read about the 13-year-old girl that gave her life for the Lord Jesus, the 15-year-old Hackus who gave his life for the Lord Jesus. On and on you could go. Young people in the Bible, pardon me, in the martyr's mirror, who gave their lives. Philemon Ranbrach, the author of the martyr's mirror, says in 1630-something, he says, in times like these that we're living in now in the 1600s, in times like these of peace and prosperity, we live in more dangerous times than what our forefathers lived in. May I shuttle you forward to 2017. We live in more dangerous times than Menno Simons lived in, or Felix Manz. I happened to see the place where he was drowned. Gave his life for the Lord. Why? Well, he had made this covenant with an almighty God. And it cost him his life. Because he turned his back on infant baptism. And made his confession. And was baptized upon his confession of faith. What you're going to do today. This man died But you know what? We live in more dangerous times than back those days. There were fellows who gave up their faith back then. There was one man who recanted. He said, "All right, I'm sorry. Please don't kill me, I'm sorry. I recant. And he backed off. And you know what? The executioners decided this fella was a believer and he will die as a believer. And his last words were this: "It's too much for a man to lose his body and soul at one time. Yes, yes. A poor fella. We live in more dangerous times today. And I don't know how much time I should spend on this. It's so much fun to do this. It won't matter if I do this. I know they tell me this is immodest, but it doesn't matter." On and on and on and on. My kind of work, yeah. Our forefathers wouldn't have done this, but it's all right. Folks, let's order our lives according to the Scriptures, according to our covenant that God has made with us and we with Him. Now, that's all a part of my introduction. Go with me to 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter. We live in dangerous times, but in the midst of all these dangers, there is blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Amidst all these dangers, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. There is victory. Let me hold it before you this morning. There is victory for you over every temptation. I haven't quite figured out yet the words of the Apostle James. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations." Well, yeah, I understand. He says, the trying of your faith worketh patience. These temptations come, and we prove God faithful by being victorious. And in all of this, we are perfected and become more and more like Jesus. Study the temptations of Jesus. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. There you have it all today. And you can do it in the 20th century, 21st century. You can categorize everything under three things like that. Shun the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. Tempted? Absolutely. But there's victory. There's victory. Let me read to you from 1 Peter 3, 15. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you of the reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse you, your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the saints in prison." Spirits in prison, sorry. Let me read that again. "By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. While the ark was preparing, wherein a few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. The water and the ark of Noah became a type of the New Testament baptism. The ark was a dry, safe place with water coming down upon it for 40 days and 40 nights. The fountains of the deep opened up. I can show you a place in New Mexico where obviously something gave way, and the rock, the whole hill rock formation is on a slant. I think the fountains of the deep opened up. Water came up from underneath and down from the skies. It rained 40 days, 40 nights. Have you felt like that? Sometimes this thing has come upon us almost more than we can bear. Water coming down. Water saved eight souls. No, it was the ark that saved the eight souls with all the animals, birds, and every living creature. Actually, folks, it took both. It took water and it took an ark of safety. The ark was a place of safety and security, a place of salvation. Even as Jesus Christ and the church, the body of Christ, is a place of safety for us today. You're making the right decisions, young people. Yes, you are. You're making the right decision. Put your whole heart into it. Actually, it takes both the blood of Jesus Christ and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and if possible, water baptism and church membership. Judgment is coming. I don't know how people make it without church. I really don't. I don't know how people make it without a faithful church. Let's provide a faithful church for all. A very significant thing is taking place here today, and you're going to be eyewitnesses. You're going to experience it. Baptism. Now, we're not talking about washing away the filth of the flesh. That's what it says here. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. That's going to take something else than H2O. It's going to take something else than soap and water. We don't have soap here today. It's going to take more than water. But this is today an appeal for spiritual safety and security that grows out of a good conscience. Read your Bible here that we've read. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ, baptism, water baptism, is an external rite that symbolizes the Holy Ghost baptism. And folks, I don't know how better to do it. We had a local Baptist man who came to our church. He was not only a Baptist man, he was a Baptist preacher. And he was a strong, eternal security fellow. And he was a strong, how often shall I say it? Strong immersionist. You've got to be immersed. All right. Just the other day, he came to me and he said, "Brother, I'm beginning to see the true symbolism behind pouring. Water upon a person, symbolizing Pentecost, the Holy Ghost coming upon us. Hey, it was the Egyptians that were immersed. The Israelites were baptized unto Moses. All right, that's an Old Testament scripture. Please, I think, please help me understand it if I'm wrong. This symbolizes Holy Spirit baptism. And I am a changed person. We'll notice it later. I'm going to be a different person. Not because of the water, but because of the Holy Ghost coming upon me. The Lord Jesus, a perfect example. I don't know how John the Baptist did it, but I can just imagine down there in the Jordan River, place of water over there in the desert, taking water and pouring up. I don't know how they did it. Doesn't matter, really. But I do know this, that the Holy Ghost came upon him, and out in the distance they heard, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And there was a dove. They saw a dove descending down upon the Lord Jesus. How beautiful. How beautiful. I am not even asking for the supernatural today other than in your lives. Is that all right? Just in your lives. How can this young person do it when the world is saying, "Come, come, come, let me give you this and this and this and the other thing. Out there you can have fun and unshackle yourself. Come on, you don't have to be, listen. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You actually can become unshackled and set free with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Oh, think of all the Catholic babies who are missing this blessing. They get baptized without knowing, without any choice. I feel sorry for them. I think we ought to pray for them. Here, you know what you're doing. God holds you accountable. And God is willing, He's ready to make this covenant with you. This is significant. And this will enable you to live in the likeness of Jesus Christ. Listen, folks, and this is for all of us. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. We are obviously in the last days, and you know it. Or are you going to be like he that is sleeping? No. Awake, thou that sleepest. Arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Let's just quickly turn to Noah in Genesis, the 6th chapter. They lived in wicked times. In fact, it was horrible. The ecumenism, the mixed marriages. I'm not going to take time to read all this. But Genesis 6, God saw that the wickedness in verse 5 was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. There gives you a picture of God Almighty. He is grieved when you sin. Can you imagine the disappointments that are in the heart of God when the millions of people come to Alaska? Am I exaggerating that? Millions of people, huh? And they see all the beauties, yea, even the beauties of the northern lights. And yet, they go to war. They divorce and remarry. They live impure lives. They disobey the scriptures. Can you imagine with me the disappointment? The grieving the heart of God. Can you imagine with me? The angels in heaven are rejoicing today over one sinner that repents. We've got five of them here. Praise God. Angels. And if angels rejoice, surely the heart of God. Is blessed. I'd like for you to, let's continue just a little bit farther. It grieved him in verse 6. It repented the Lord. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air. It repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Ah. Young people, do you sense this morning that you have found grace in the eyes of the Lord? Fathers and mothers, grandpas, sinner friend, come find grace in the eyes of the Lord. I'd like to go over to which verse is it now? Verse chapter 7, verse 13. That's Genesis 7:13. Here it says, in the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. Into the ark of safety these people trod. I have wondered many, many times, and please tell me, where were Noah's grandchildren? Okay. Shem, Ham, and Japheth were newlyweds. I don't know. There's no way for me to know or you to know. If you find out, please tell me. I catch a glimpse over in the book of Acts. You have the sons of Shem on the day of Pentecost getting converted. The sons of Japheth becoming converted and being baptized. And you have the son of Ham. I think the Ethiopian was probably a Ham. Hamite. Is that said right? A son of Ham was baptized. But where were his grandchildren back then? I do not know. I am so glad for a granddaughter that's being baptized today. But you know what? I have 42 grandchildren. Thank you, Christy, for coming. These folks back then needed a place of protection and security, and they found it. These New Testament, I don't even like to call them believers because the devils even believe and tremble, but these New Testament disciples, New Testament, the Bible calls them Christians, have found a place of safety, a place, an ark of safety. I would like to take you now back to 1 Peter again, if you will, and I need to be zeroing on some closing thoughts here after a while. Go with me to 1 Peter, the first chapter. I'll try to close in about 10 minutes here. Will that be all right? 1 Peter 1 and verse 2. This epistle is being written to strangers. Did you notice that? I have it underlined in my Bible. I like that. Peter was writing to strangers scattered. Now, he's also writing to those very same strangers and calling them elect. Verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. There you find Father, Son, and Holy Ghost involved in our redemption. Get it? Elected according to God. Ephesians said that before the foundation of the world, God hath chosen us. Get it? Before the foundation. Are you responding? Am I responding? Pick your... I can't say your names. But God has chosen you, and you, and you, and you. Why don't you respond? I shall. I will. I have. Huh? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost involved in our redemption. Get it? Father elected us. The Holy Spirit sanctified us unto the obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance. Oh, you know what I noticed in Alaska? May I tell you a little secret? I look around here and I see you. The waste of money. Money. I've got a notion, but I have no idea how much money is being wasted. Just for fun. Just for fun. Folks, we have... Oh, the song that we sang here, and I wish I tried to find it and I couldn't. Afterwards, I want to ask the brother what that song was, where it says how that the world gets all these things and then leaves it all behind. Get it, folks? Unto an inheritance. Incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, and is reserved in heaven for you. We take care of elderly people, and you know what? Almost everybody, so they say, everybody goes to heaven. No, 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 that's not according to the Bible. The Bible says just the other way. The Bible says, few there be that find it. There were these 10 virgins. 5 were lost. They didn't have oil. 5 were saved. reserved in heaven for you. Look what God is doing for us. Well, we must move on. I would like to quickly go over your covenant with God. Brother, where's Jonathan, the usher? Would you and Brother... Yeah, you pass these out. I want to go over these just very briefly, and I want you to be able to actually see what these young people are doing today. I forgot to get you one. You have that. There are five questions that are going to be asked. Five questions. Now, if you have answered these questions, God bless you. Think back. Remember what you have done. Rejoice in what you have done. If, on the other hand, you've never answered these questions before, please consider how important it is. Could we have a couple more up here?
I gave them all away.
You can thank the Lord and also thank Lamp and Light Publishers for donating these to us, for passing these out today. The first three questions are questions about the Trinity. Do you believe in one true, eternal, almighty God who is creator and preserver of all things visible and invisible? And we will not baptize you, young people, if you say no. It won't work to say no. I know you won't say no. Number two is about Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, that He is the only Savior of mankind, that He died on the cross and gave Himself a ransom for our sins so that through Him we might have eternal life. And you'd better say yes. And number three, the Holy Ghost. Do you believe that He proceeds from the Father and the Son, and that He is a Comforter who abides in and sanctifies the hearts of believers and leads them into all truth? Number four is a deep, 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 heart-searching question. How is it? Are you truly sorry for all your past sins? And are you willing to renounce Satan, the world, and all the works of darkness, and your own carnal will and sinful desires? So now this is about the past. Are you sorry? You know, the word repentance is being lost in Christendom, so-called, today. Repentance is utmost. It means to be sorry for sin. I'm sorry. And number five is the promise. A promise. Do you promise by the grace of God and the aid of the Holy Spirit to submit yourself to Christ and His Word and faithfully to abide in the same until death? Whew. What a commitment. What a commitment. And we say, I do. The first three, you answer with, I do. Yes, yes, yes. Are you truly sorry for your sins? I am. And the last one, do you promise? I do. Let me give you, what does this baptism do for me? Baptism clears the conscience in that it is an act of obedience. You'll never again get pressured to be baptized. You're clear. I was baptized back in Ohio in a dairy barn. In the loft, nice fresh straw scattered all around. Baptized in the name of Jesus, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Upon my confession of faith, I'm at rest. You want to baptize me again, Emmanuel? No, thanks. I've been baptized. You see, I'm at rest. And you'll find this same rest today. It will also do something else for you. It'll make you a member of the church, of a brotherhood. It opens up the doors for you, young people, please. And all of us, let's see where we stand. It opens the door for us to be a contribution to others in the brotherhood. It brings to us the advantage of guidance and advice, even admonition, which can be very helpful. Just the other day, a woman went like this to me, sort of like this, nothing angry or nothing. She said, Aiden, you be sure that you follow the advice. And I said, yes, I will. I promise. What a blessing to be a part of the church of Jesus Christ. And even when I fail, if I should fail, discipline and chastening is for my salvation. In the third place, just look what it does. It opens up the other ordinances of the church. Not only can you be baptized and wear the covering, sisters, brothers, you can be baptized now, but feet washing is opened up. The holy kiss. You are welcome at communion. If you should get sick, you can call upon the elders of the church and they'll anoint you with oil. Did I miss any of them? Communion, feet washing, the holy kiss, and even marriage is now open to you. Before, it wouldn't have been wise to get married without baptism. But now, you can participate in the other ordinances. What a blessing. Baptism and church membership opens a door to a life of witnessing and testimony. I look at you people in Alaska from my telescope in New Mexico, you know, and I wonder, what are you doing up there? Especially my daughter is up here. What are you doing up here? But you know what? Coming up here, you have a mission. There's a witness that needs to go out from your church. Wickedness. Casual living, even tourism. You can witness to people all over the world where we can't in some of the other parts of the U.S. Come. Baptism opens the door for you. Participate. Put your heart into it. We'll provide some literature for you if you need it. If you need literature, I'm from Lamp and Light, you understand that. Baptism and church membership, with years of faithfulness, will be rewarded eternally. Yes, eternally. Again, baptism is a covenant with God. You are making a covenant. Yes, I will be true to thee. Let's sing the song, Follow the Path of Jesus. Follow the path of Jesus. Walk where His footsteps lead. Keep His vision clear. Follow the path of Jesus. Presence, every counsel. Some good to do, quick while this voice is gone.